You know, when you read the Bible, you recognize there really isn't a secret concerning what God will do for us and through us and in us. God is a great God. And in His greatness, we exercise our great faith in Him. You know, the Bible has so much to say about the subject of faith and how we are to be a faithful people. Well, one of the earliest lessons we're taught in our life is a lesson of faith and how we are to exercise our faith in God. And that's really what I want to talk about tonight, working your faith muscles, if you will. Now, in a few minutes, some of you are going to be out in the activity building working your physical muscles. As I said, some of you. Not all of you. But I do hope tonight that all of you are eager to exercise your faith muscles. You know, the book we just sang out of was a book entitled Songs of Faith and Praise. Songs of Faith and Praise. They are songs that speak of our great faith in God. Jesus said of Nathanael that I've not found one who had such great faith as this man, Nathanael. When Paul was writing the book of Hebrews, and I believe him to be the writer of that great book, there is no notification of authorship at the beginning of it or at the ending of it. But in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him." Now, the very first verse that precedes that verse 6 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." And in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, where Paul talks about not being ashamed of the gospel. Well, the very next verse says, "For it is the righteousness of God that is revealed from faith to faith." And then he makes a quote from the book, that little book, called Habakkuk in the Old Testament. And he reiterates it once again and he says, "As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let me ask you a question tonight. What kind of faith picture do you have for yourself? What kind of faith picture do you have for your mate, for your children? What kind of faith picture do you have for your grandchildren, for your marriage, for your job? Or even your business? Do you know that God has a will that includes everything in your life? It is that God wants you to prosper in all things. In that little book called 3 John, only one chapter. Kind of like the book of Jude, just one little chapter. And John writes it, however, and in 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, John says, "Beloved, I pray that you will prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Now, John's desire for those in the early church was that they would prosper financially and physically, but he says, just as you would prosper in a very spiritual way. In the amplified version of that book, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, I'd like to read this because there is a degree of clarity that you do not find in the King James Version. Now, I'm not running down the King James Version, don't get me wrong, but what I am saying, I think the amplified version really does amplify it for us a little bit more. He says, "Now faith is the assurance, that is the confirmation of a title deed, so to say, of the things which we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see and the conviction of their reality." Faith, perceiving the real fact, what is not revealed to the senses. Now, faith is not something you can see. You can see the product of faith, the way people live and how they respond and how they act. In the book of Romans 8, verse 5 through 6, Paul says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds and their affections on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, they mind the things of a spiritual nature. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded," he said, "is life and peace. Now let me ask you a question. How do you remain a person of faith when we live in a world of doubt and unbelief? Every day we see people who exercise their unbelief in God, and they're very quick to tell you that. They're very quick to announce that they don't believe that there is a hereafter and that they do not believe that there is one who created the universe, but that it just exploded in some kind of cataclysmic way in the heavens one day and earth just finally appeared and the humanity upon it. We live in a negative world of uncertainties, and this doubt and unbelief is challenging to our faith, to say the least. It is. But how can we be the salt of the earth, and how can we really be the light in our society that is influenced so much about the negative aspects of life and living? When I think about the fact that the Bible teaches us that physical exercise is so important, and it is. Now, Paul made the statement, he says that bodily exercise profits little, but with godliness there is great gain. Paul's not denouncing the idea of physical exercise. I mean, after all, if we are the temple of God, that we are to keep the temple fit and pure and clean, we are the temple of God. That's why you take a bath, isn't it? Hopefully you do, or a shower. I mean, you clean the body up because it is the temple of God. And when you exercise, you are doing much, much more to make sure that the body or the temple is fit. But in order for our faith to grow, it must be exercised on a daily basis as well. And I think this is where sometimes it's really difficult for us to comprehend how we go about doing that. You know, our faith in reality grows in a very similar and a natural way, just as our bodies do, if we exercise our faith. Now, when you were young, you know, your body was always active. But as you get a little bit older, your body is not as active as it was. But how many of you have seen that commercial on TV? It's just a great commercial. The body, and I bet you could even repeat it with me. If you can do it, do it. The body that stays in motion, what? Remains in motion, doesn't it? It does. Or vice versa. I mean, you get a body that is moving. I mean, you want to deteriorate fast. Just sit down in a rocking chair. And the same thing is true spiritually speaking. It is not enough just to equip ourselves with the knowledge of God. It is not enough just to ascertain all of those biblical facts and have them in our mind unless we're really going to do something with the knowledge that we have acquired. Now let me share with you some things that I really believe that we can do to strengthen our faith muscles if God really blesses our faith, and I think He does, not only here, but according to the book of Revelation 2 and verse 10, He will bless our faith in the end time. He does. He says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Well, let me go ahead and begin here so we'll get through in time tonight. Number one, I would suggest to you that we begin every day with a faith picture of what you see God doing in you. Now, that may sound a little vague to you, but do you ever see God doing things in you and through you? You ought to. Sometimes we never take note of that, what God is really doing. Again, listen to what He says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Begin to get a faith picture, if you will, every morning of what you see God doing in your life. Whether it's in your marriage, trying to strengthen that marriage and bring it into the picture of what God really has for your life. Or whether it is maybe disciplining your children or your grandchildren or any other relationships or your finances or whatever it may be, what do you see God doing in your life? God blesses us every day. We always say that. You know, one of the little trite statements that people say today is that I'm too blessed to be stressed. But if you ask them, well, what are the blessings of God in your life? What is He doing in your life? Oh, well, I'll have to think about that one. You know what? You shouldn't have to think about it. You ought to be able to know, and you ought to be able to say, here is what God is doing in my life, and it is strengthening my faith. And when we say it over and over and over again, and when we meditate upon it, and when we pray about our day, expect God to speak to your heart what He has in store for you. Now, I'm not saying He's going to do it in an audible way. I don't think He's grabbed you by the ear and say, hey, let me tell you what we're going to do today. But I think what God does is that He places things within our heart, the way He's going to move and what He's going to do and where He is going to lead us that day. What do you see Him doing in every aspect of your life? You know, when you put yourself under the leadership of God, it's not you moving. It's not you doing what you do. It's God doing it in you. Now, go back to what we often pray. Father, may the world be able to see Christ living in us. What do we mean by that? That's kind of a broad statement to say, may the world see. What do you want them to see? You want them to see your words? Or hear your words? You want them to see your actions? What do you want? I believe that when we put ourselves under the rule of Christ, that what we do is it's Christ really living in us. He is leading us to where we need to be. And it really is Christ, not just, I mean, he's not there for a short time, but He's living within us. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. And then in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path. You know, every morning when I get out of bed, I pray, God, lead me today where I need to be. I do. Lead me where I need to be. Not where I want to go. But you know, so few people are willing to say that. To say, God, hey, I want your will to be mine. Not my will be yours. And when you surrender your life unto Christ and you say, God, I want your will to be my will. What you're saying, God, is I want you to lead me where I need to be. But there's a second thing. Always remember that, though. Remember to see what God is doing in your life. That's a great faith builder in me. But number two, begin to confess to one another the things you see God doing. It's not enough for us to see it in our own way or from our own perspective, but it's important to confess it to other people. And then I'm going to tell you why I believe it is important to confess it to other people. You know, there is nothing wrong. For a long, long time with the Church of our Lord, people thought it was wrong to get up and tell other people what God was doing in their life. For some reason, I don't know how we came up with that erroneous conclusion. But it is erroneous to say, well, we can't get up and tell everybody else what God's doing in our life. How stupid can we be? I mean, the whole Bible, if you read the New Testament and the life and the history of Jesus Christ, it is about, listen to this, it is about what other people said that Christ was doing in His life. Remember that book of John chapter 4 when Jesus had gone to Sychar and He sat down with a woman at the well, and as a matter of fact, Jesus began to open up for her very life. Everything about her. All about her five husbands and the one she was shacking up with then, the one she was living with. And she is just so amazed by what is going on and what Christ is on. Listen, He opened up a book that she didn't want to open. He opened up a can of worms that she'd kind of like to put back in. But when this woman began to recognize that Jesus was a prophet of God, and that he was, he's prophet, priest, and king, she goes into the city and she says, "Come, see a man who told me all things about my life and what Jesus had done for her." Sometimes the reason I say that that is a faith builder, because it's in that song I think that we were singing, what he did for one, he will do for you. Isn't that what we were singing a while ago? What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. For it is no secret what God can do. We need to confess to one another. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, said in that second epistle, chapter 4 and verse 13, "But since we have this same spirit of faith, according to what was written," he says, "I believed and therefore I spoke, and we also believe and therefore we speak." And then that other little book. You know, sometimes we overlook those little one-chapter books in the Bible for some reason or another. And Philemon is another one. In the book of Philemon, chapter 1, it's the only chapter, and verse 6, Paul mentions here again that the sharing of your faith, that it might become effective, he says, by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And then Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, "But what does it say?" he says, "The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is to say, this is the word of faith which we preach." You see why faith is so important to God? Faith is much, much more than just mental assent. Some people think that faith is just wrapped up in that one little word, believe. And it's that thing you do before you become a Christian. It's something that you experience when you start making your trek down the aisle. And suddenly when you get here to the front of the building, then you are a man of faith. Now, that's not what faith is. The Bible speaks of the operation of faith in the book of Colossians. What do you desire to see God doing in your life on a daily basis? I asked you a minute ago to kind of observe it, but what do you want him to do in your life? You must confess these things to God and to one another and make faith declarations before God. Do you do that? In your daily walk, do you tell other people about your faith in God? Do you declare it? Or are you ashamed of it? Jesus said, "Whosoever is ashamed of me in this sinful and adulterous generation, of him shall I be ashamed when I stand before the Father who is in heaven." But number three, you want to build your faith muscles? Faith comes by looking for and finding the biblical solution. You know what? People never really stop and think about a biblical solution to their problems in life. When it's illness, we say, well, if the doctor can't work it out, it can't be worked out. People are going to die. People having marriage problems, if the marriage counselor can't solve it, can't be worked out. You got financial problems? You got less income and more outgo? Can't be solved. No, there is one who meets all of our needs, and that's Jesus. In Joshua 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night." How many of us do that? Now, to meditate doesn't mean you read it. There's a difference between meditating upon the Word of God and reading it. Paul told Timothy, he says, "Till I come again," he says, "give attendance to reading." And Jesus said in John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." He said, you read it. Read the Word. Bible said the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica, inasmuch as they searched the scripture daily to see if the things that were taught were so. John said in 1 John 4 and verse 1 that we're to try the spirits, whether they're of God. Read it. But there's a difference between reading it and meditating on it. You see, meditating on something is already having the knowledge, and you're now thinking about what you have read. To meditate on it means to think about it. And so that's what he says, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to that which is written in it. For then you will make your way, listen to it, prosperous. John said, I want you to prosper in all things, just as your soul prospers. He says, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We need to learn to go to God's Word and study it for the help that we need and meditate upon it. It has all the answers contained in it. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It is true that we need to seek God for a biblical solution to the problems that we face in life. You know, our nation faces a lot of problems. And I appreciate Sam's prayer a minute ago because it's so true. We have a lot of problems in this nation. I would to God that our president, and I doubt very seriously he's going to do this, and our congressman, and I'm not trying to be disparaging here in my remarks, but if it's consistent with the way that they have lived their lives historically, they won't. But I pray that they would get on their knees and they would seek a solution from God to the ills of this country. The Bible is about people like you and me who went through the same kinds of conflicts that we go through every day. And it is the Word of God that establishes our belief and our faith. And that's why Romans 10:17 says that faith, you know where you get it? Don't just pray for it. He says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. You want to have a greater faith? Get into the word of God. And then we must stand on the word and exercise that faith every day. Do something with it. That's what we're really saying. You know, it's kind of like going to a trainer at the gym, and the trainer saying, okay, now here's a great exercise to get rid of your flab. I know you don't have any of that. Someone told me the other day that women will never, ever be equal to men until they can walk down the road bald-headed and with a fat stomach and still think that they are real attractive. Now you can read, listen, you can read all about, I don't have anybody in mind. Please know that up front. You can read all about exercise. You can buy all the books, you can buy all the videos, all the DVDs, you can go to the trainer. But if you don't start practicing what you learn, it is of no advantage to you. And the same is true with the Word of God. You hear it preached, you hear it taught. But if we don't take it and do something with it, folks, it's of no value, is it, to us? It isn't. But fourthly, your faith picture must be put into action. Whatever you visualize, and that really brings us to one of the major points here, whatever you visualize in your life and seeing yourself become and do, put it into action. James 2, verse 14 to 26 says, if someone says he has faith but he does not have works, now here's the nitty-gritty of all this. If a man says he has faith but he doesn't have works, can his faith save him? Also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead. Now James is not talking about the faith that leads us to become a Christian here. He's writing here to Christian folks. This is an epistle to the church. And he's saying that some folks in the church are dislazy and indolent and shiftless, and they have no intention of putting into action what they hear and what they learn. So he says, he challenges them by saying, let me ask you a question. Do you really think that your faith is going to save you if you are not a working, serving child of God? Faith without works is dead. Do you see that faith working together, however, with his works, that works with faith was made perfect or complete? A Christian man worked each day transporting tourists across a lake. On an occasion, he would present the gospel and he would talk about the implications of the gospel for an unusual way. He had painted the word faith on one of the oars of the rowboat. And on the other oar, he had written the word works. And when they got out some distance from the shore, he would stop. And then he would begin to row with one oar marked faith. He would cause the boat to just kind of go in circles doing that. And it would go to the left. And then reversing the process, he would pull on the other oar marked works. And they would circle in the opposite direction. By this time, the bewildered passengers were waiting for an explanation. And this afforded him a wonderful opportunity to tell them the truth concerning discipleship and what the Christian life is all about. And he always concluded with this quote from James 2:20. You see, neither faith nor works can stand alone. They are twins that cannot be separated. And the Bible says, whatsoever God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. That's a principle found in Matthew chapter 5. But it's a principle of almost anything. Whatever God has joined together, you don't have the liberty to separate. Let me hurry on. It brings us down to number 5, the last one. We should expect changes to occur. I'm going to tell you something. I have learned one of the things that build my faith muscles is this. After you have firmly established in your mind a picture of what you desire for the lives of your family, your own life, begin to expect a real change to occur. It takes a heart of anticipation and a heart of expectation for faith to be fully realized. In Mark 11:24, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, that whatsoever things you ask when you pray. Now listen to this, folks. This is important. He said, therefore I say unto you that whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. Now listen to the rest of this. And that you will have them. You believe that? I believe it. You want to see changes in your life? You have to expect them. Do you want to see your ability to be a good father or mother or husband or wife? We need to expect change and be consistent with it. Begin expecting it. That's what Christ said. Do you want to see your financial situation change? Where you don't have to rob Peter to pay Paul? And where you don't have to rob anybody? Exercise a greater faith in God. And then begin expecting it. David said, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. We ought to understand that faith is a muscle, must be exercised. Faith is like the sunrise. It is fresh every morning. It is. So let me challenge you in the morning. With all of that said, when you get up, think back on what we said tonight and start trying to exercise your faith. Do something tomorrow to exercise your faith. You want a stronger faith? The disciples did. They came, Jesus said, Lord, increase our faith. We ought to want to be a people that have a stronger faith. You see, a stronger faith enables us, listen, to weather the storms of life, however strong they may be. You may be here tonight. You may be going through a storm. You failed. You need the prayers of the Lord's church, as others did this morning. And certainly we challenge each and every one of you to review your life, to think about it. Maybe you've been faithless. Maybe your faith is weak. Maybe tonight you need to ask God to forgive you and to help you draw closer to Him. And you have that opportunity, as Dwight said this morning. We're here as a family, and we have that grand opportunity. If you're not a Christian tonight, you can become obedient to God by your faith. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You can tonight while we stand and while we sing.